Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be following through the 29th chapter, Perek Chavtes of Sefer Yeshayahu. The general theme of this perek is hope amongst sin. Yeshayahu is again in the middle of rebuking, but at the same time giving hope to the generation he's speaking to, which is the generation of the south following the destruction, or in the time of the destruction of the north. So here's how it goes. The first section of the perek describes the siege and salvation of Yerushalayim. We know, historically speaking, that Yerushalayim was surrounded by the armies of first Rav Shakeh, and later on Sancheriv, and later on when they're surrounded by Sancheriv, ultimately there will be a salvation from it miraculously, and 180,000 soldiers die overnight. So here's what he says. He basically says, woe to Ariel, which sits in the city of Yerushalayim and accumulates sin from year to year. And he describes how this Ariel will come into siege and be surrounded by corpses, like it would be animal carcasses. Strange imagery. We have to think about what that means. He describes how Hashem will bring a great siege against Yerushalayim and will bring it so low that all the voice that will be left from this Ariel from Yerushalayim, it sounds like, will be this low voice, humbling of the moment. But in that moment of humility, in that moment of lowliness, is specifically where Hashem hears us and has mercy on us. So Hashem brings us low, sees our suffering, and because of his rachmim to us in that moment, will disintegrate our enemies in one moment. They will all suddenly disapparate, they'll turn into dust. And it'll be almost like he describes it like a dream. He says, "V'kasher yachalom," as a person will dream, "V'kasher yachalom ha-ra'e v'hine ochel." A person will dream of being hungry, think that he's eating, and wake up and he's still hungry. The people will be seeing the destruction of Yerushalayim and then wake up and see that actually it had not happened, because that's how real it seemed and how miraculous the salvation will be. This is this first section. What exactly is Ariel, just to be precise? It's talking about woe to this Ariel. So the Rashi says, the Pashto says, the Ariel, based on the Targum, the Aramaic translation, is Madbecha, which means the Mizbeach. It's referring to the Mizbeach, which is sort of the place where we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's usually surrounded by animal carcasses. It's going to be surrounded by corpses because of the destruction and siege of Yerushalayim. However, the Radak quotes Chazal, who says it refers actually to the Heichal, the temple of Hashem, because it's sort of in size, it's wide at the front and narrow at the end. It's like a crouching lion in shape. So it's literally the Ari, the lion kale of Hashem, Ariel, which, by the way, happens to be both a boy's and a girl's name. In Jewish culture, you can have Ariels who are boys, and there are, certainly in Sephardic tradition, there are Ariels who are girls. It's based on this pasuk over here in Yeshayahu. One fascinating just tidbit over here is Rabbi Natan Slufkin has a book called The Torah Encyclopedia of the Animal Kingdom, which is a fantastic encyclopedia, and it goes through methodologically every animal, quotes all the psukim and the chazal on it, and some very interesting, fascinating ideas. So he points out that we're told that the lion is very important in Jewish tradition, and one of the things we're supposed to learn from it, as Chazal tell us in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, is hiskaber ka'ari, that we're supposed to be strong like a lion to serve our Creator. Now, so we sort of wake up in this moment of strength like a lion. Now, the last time anybody went to the game reserve, you'll notice that the lions aren't exactly the first alarm clock animal in the bush. They actually spend most of their days sleeping. So it's funny to talk about waking up like the lion, and this imagery of the Mizbeach being like a lion, when ultimately they do a lot of sleeping. So Rav Slifkin suggests a very interesting idea, and that is that unlike all the other large predatory cats, all of the rest of them travel in solitary. That means to say that when you look at the leopard, when you look at the cheetah, when you look at the jaguar, when you look at the other animals, they all travel alone. The lion is the only one of those creatures that travels in a pride. That's the pride is the name for a group of lions. Why? He said that means to say that even though it's got a ferocious nature, it's got a murderous nature. That animal is able to control its nature to work together in packs, in prides. That might be why it's the Mishnah in Perek Avos tells us in the beginning of the fourth Perek that what is Gevura? Gevura is a person who is Misgaber al Yitzro. He has Gevura to hold back their own intentions and wills and at the moment in order to be able to work together, in order to be able to see a greater goal. That might be why the Mizbeach is, or the Mikdash is a place which has been described as Ariel, the lion of Hashem. That's the place where we have the opportunity, despite our great differences, to come together and work towards something greater and grander. First section of this parak. Next section is Yeshayahu turns back to the rebuke of the people. This next section runs from Pasuk Tes all the way to Pasuk Yudalad, and he basically says the following. Look, people are confused now. They're confused, but not from wine. It looks like, meaning the way they're acting, looks as if they're drunk because they're doing such silly things in society. But nonetheless, it's Hashem who's really blinding their eyes, but not allowing them to see and allowing them to follow these false prophets. And he says a strange thing. He says, the way that you look at things is going to be like this locked book. It's going to be that even when you get to the expert, the expert won't be able to read this locked book. And then he says in the next passage, but rather, if you give this sefer, if you give this book, even if it's not locked, to a regular fellow, he'll say, I don't understand how to read this. Strange. What does that mean? What the Malbim explains this to mean is the following. Is that what, you know, people are saying, the prophet, you know, he's giving us all these grandiose prophecies, but he doesn't really know what he's talking about. The prophet has no idea. He is even coded in a way that the prophet doesn't know himself. So says Yeshayahu, you may think that the expert doesn't understand the book because it's locked. Well, let me say something. Let me unlock it for you. Even if God gave it to you, you wouldn't be able to understand it because you don't have the spiritual terminology to be able to apply and understand it. Which means to say, you think common sense is what dictates or what is the key to understanding the word of God. Well, let me tell you something. Leave it to the experts, and I'm the expert. I'm telling you what's going over here. Don't sit there and suck it out of your thumb and tell yourselves and rationalize your lives around the way in which you think it should work, because I'm the only person who's got the word of God right here. That's what Yeshua was telling them, because obviously people are trying to rationalize the type of lifestyle they want to lead. Finally, he closes this little section saying, he says that people don't really serve God full-heartedly. He says, but people also keep doing it. You honor God with your mouth, you do go to daven so many times a day, but your hearts are far from me. You are going to serve God simply out of habit. That's when there's no life in it. It simply is. And therefore, when it just is, it's empty. Therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to bring you low. I'm going to destroy your wisdom. All the wisdom, all the common sense you think you had, because you are not really close to me internally. One of the common themes we're going to see later on in Yeshayahu and many of the other prophets about the superficial service of God. In the last two sections over here of this parak, Yeshayahu now from Pasuk Tes Vav all the way to Pasuk Chof Aleph now turns to the deniers. And he says, so you think that you can hide your actions. In public you'll be just perfect, picture perfect. But in dark places, when the curtain is closed, that's when you're the real self will let out. But Hashem doesn't really know about that, because Hashem isn't watching you if you're not in public. Well, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki yomar ma'asei lo'aseihu lo'asani. Can a created being turn to its creator and say, you didn't create me? V'yeser omar li'yotzroi lo'hevin. You know, you turn to the person who invested intention into you and then say, you don't understand intention? Let me explain something to you, says Hashem. I get you, because I created you. I wound you up. I put the cogs inside of you. That's what Hashem is saying over here. Don't think there's something you can hide behind. There is nothing to hide behind when it comes to me, because I am your creator. In fact, the description is about one of the great Tanaim in the Mishnah, who says, when he was on his deathbed, his Talmidim says, give us a blessing. And he says, your fear of heaven should be like the fear of humans. They said, is that it? That's all? That's all you're going to give us? He says, halavai that. Meaning, if we're to think about Hashem in the way that we fear the view and the judgment of others, that will change the way we act. That's what Yeshayahu is saying over here. And therefore, in response to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I know your thoughts, of course I'll take action. But maybe not now. But there will come a day where I'm going to level mountains, I'm going to raise valleys. There's going to be din to the tzaddikim and the rishayim. On that day, even the deaf will hear. Even the blind will read the book. Coming back to that book, which you think nobody knows how to read. Well, you'll all get it then. It's going to be pretty clear, says Yeshayahu. He offers our reads for kololates. There's not going to be any scoffers then. That's when the humble people who are taunted, the people who are teased, the people who are ignored, the people who are sidelined, they're going to be risen. They're going to rise to the top now when they see what really happens. And the scoffers, those people who manage to joke about everything in society that was serious, well, they'll be brought down. And that's the day when they'll meet their match. Finally, the parak closes pasuk Chav Beis all the way till the very end Chav Dalet, and it closes with the following words. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in a very enigmatic way through the mouth of Yeshayahu that tell the Jews, Asher Padas Avraham Lo Ato Yevosh Yaakov. Hashem, who redeemed Abraham, is not going to be embarrassed of Yaakov. Meaning to say, what does this mean? It says apparently, because they're going to look to the future. Avraham's going to look to the future and see that his children will be makdish my name in public, and that will ultimately sort of give him confidence that it's not just all bad people in the future. And that's when even the wayward will learn from their actions. What Kiddush Hashem are referring to? So Rashi says, this is referring to even the specific example of the sacrifice of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah later on in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, who did not bow down to this apparent idol, and were thrown into the furnace of fire, and created a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Whereas other Mefarshim say, no, it's referring to, in general, tzaddikim who are going to be mekadesh and shemaim are going to validate the existence of Avraham, going to validate the existence of all these of the vision. And the Radak says potentially it might be referring to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, where there was military and spiritual success at his time, and therefore we actually witnessed this point of time in Kiddush Hashem. Last thing, just to close the parak, is actually a halachic note, and that is the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin Beis tells us that this last trajectory, this last sort of framework over here, explains something in the Shemoneh Esrei in Aramida. And that is the reason why the bracha of Bina, of asking for knowledge of Hashem, immediately follows Kadosh, the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, of Kiddush Hashem. Meaning to say, how is it that we arrive at knowledge is when we witness Kiddush Hashem. That's what it is. The Gemara says, V'kedushas Kadosh Yisrael, quoting our Pasuk, he says, V'samich lei v'yadu toye ruach Bina. You can only get real knowledge when you see Kiddush Hashem. That's the real knowledge. The real knowledge and understanding of Hashem is where we witness the Kiddush Hashem. How do we get Kiddush Hashem? Well, that depends on the Ma'aseh HaTzadikim. That depends on the actions of the righteous, where people are able to go beyond themselves, to think about us rather than I. At that point in time, we create the Kiddush Hashem to really acknowledge and really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.